Let us now commence our services today by singing together hymn number 64. The tune is Melchizedek 483. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Hymn number 64.
Thank you.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 14. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 14. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the stranger shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. How from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety. And I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina art dissolved, for there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation, that the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it? May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word of truth and grant to us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, we do desire to bow before thee, to call upon thy great and holy name, and we do pray that thou wouldst teach us how to pray and for what to pray. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but may the Spirit make intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We pray, dear Lord, that thou would draw us to thy mercy seat, that we may pour out our heart unto thee in prayer, in supplication, with thanksgiving. We pray for thy divine guidance and teaching of thy Holy Spirit in our assemblies this day, that the word of the Lord may have free course, that thy name may be honoured and glorified, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be exalted as a prince and as a saviour, for to give faith and repentance and remission of sins, that poor sinners may be warned of their lost condition, and the Holy Spirit may open their eyes and their hearts to receive the word, and there may be a solemn realisation of the holiness and the majesty of the eternal God of heaven, and that there may be a solemn realisation of the solemnity of death and eternity, and that great need of being born again of the Spirit, and to be brought to living faith in Jesus Christ. Great God, incline thine ear, we do beseech thee, and have mercy upon us, we pray thee, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem, and gather in precious souls, we do humbly beseech of thee. Bless the word of the Lord distributed among the villages. Grant that there may be a bountiful harvest in due season, that it may be to the glory of thy great name and to the building of thy heavenly kingdom here upon earth, precious souls being prepared for eternity. We pray that the strongholds of Satan may be pulled down, and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners. And Lord, we look back in our own pathway, in our own experience, when we were running from thee, as far from God as sheep can run, and yet thou didst stretch out thy almighty arm. Thou didst quicken our soul and convince us of our sin, and deliver us from the clutches of Satan and from the power and dominion of sin, and broughtest us into union with Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, and brought us to see the wonderful glory of his name and the wonder of his grace and the fullness of his salvation. Great God, we thank thee for the remembrance of those days, and that thou hast maintained us thus far in life's journey. And we will here raise our Ebenezer, hither by thy help we've come, and we hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. We pray, dear Lord, that prodigals may return, and that thy mighty grace may be seen among us in this, and that we may rejoice at thy wonderful mercy, that thou wast caused them to be in want and to return unto the house of God. Lord, there is nothing too hard for thee. Indeed, thou art able to do abundantly more than we can even ask or think. Oh, we do pray, most gracious Lord, thy richest blessing upon our brethren the deacons, that grace and help may be given them continually, and that thou wouldst be with our dear brother at Tunbridge Wells this morning and help him in the reading of a sermon, and grant thy blessing to rest upon them there, and be with our dear brother here as he goes there this evening. Lord, hear us, we do beseech thee, and graciously go before us as a church and as a congregation. We pray for our brethren and sisters in Christ, that our love may abound yet more and more, that we may truly love one another, serve one another, and bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. We're very much aware, O Lord, that Satan is the separator of the brethren. Oh, we pray to be preserved and kept from his power. Thou hast promised that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We plead that precious promise. We pray to be clothed upon with the whole armour of God. We may have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Lord, grant us that heavenly armour, that we may be enabled to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy would bless the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary, that the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it may be their portion. Bless the instruction given in the Sunday school, that it may be to the good of their precious souls, that it may be as bread cast upon the waters that shall be seen after many days. So bless them, Lord. Bless the dear young friends as they stand upon the threshold of life's journey. Undertake for them. Guide them by thy counsel. Teach them thy truth. Bring them to living faith in Jesus Christ. Guide them, O Lord, in all the paths of providence, whatever that may be. Help them to commit all things into thy kind and gracious hands. Give wisdom and grace and help unto parents to bring up their children, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We do humbly beseech of thee. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst bless each one in the midst of the journey of life, its attendant temptations. And Lord, we're in a wilderness. If we're truly born of the Spirit, this world to us is a wilderness, Lord. And we pray for divine guidance in this wilderness and divine sustenance in this wilderness. Thou hast promised in thy word that when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst hear us and grant that we may drink of that living water and have a little of the wine of the kingdom and eat the bread of life. Oh, thou great God, grant it to us even this day. Be with us this afternoon as we gather round the table of the Lord, and grant thy sacred presence and blessing upon us as a church. We pray, dear Lord, that there may be others among us that shall be constrained to follow thee in the way of thy sacred ordinances of the New Testament. Hear us, O Lord, and exercise them to fulfil all righteousness for thy great name's sake. We pray, dear Lord, for those that are seeking, that they may find. for those that are far off, that they may be made nigh. For those that are discouraged, that this day they may be encouraged. Lord, help them to ask and to seek and to knock. We do humbly beseech thee, strengthen them out of Zion. We pray for those in the evening time of life journey, that thou wouldst have mercy upon them, that thou wouldst richly bless them, and that graciously put the arms of thine everlasting love around them and prepare them for thy heavenly kingdom and for that great change that shall come. We pray, dear Lord, thy blessing to rest upon all thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion today, that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren, that there may be signs to follow the preaching of the word. And we pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, to send true labourers into the harvest and to turn back the tides of iniquity in the solemn day in which we live. Arise within our nation, bless our beloved queen and consort and the royal household. Bless them with thy rich grace. Give wisdom and understanding to our leaders, guidance and direction in all matters, and grant that we may be successfully extricated from the European Union, that we might stand once again as a sovereign, independent nation, preserve our Protestant heritage, our civil and our religious liberties. We see the dreadful powers of Antichrist abroad in our nation and in the nations of the earth. O Lord, hear the cries of thy little remnant. Return to Jerusalem with mercies. Bless thy people in other nations that suffer persecution and prison and torture and torment and death for the name and witness of Jesus Christ. Send them help from the sanctuary. Strengthen them out of Zion. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy holy day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Will we be glad and rejoice in it? We do bless thee for the glory of thy Son, Jesus Christ, the incarnation of the Son of God, perfect obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ, the bringing in of everlasting righteousness in him. We bless thee for that holy sacrifice of the cross, where sin has been put away, where divine justice has been satisfied. We bless thee for a Saviour that died to rise again, to swallow up death in victory, and has now ascended into heaven and bodily sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We bless thee that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We bless thee for the sacred gift of thy Spirit. We bless thee for a love, the love of our Heavenly Father. Be with us now, Lord, as we turn to thy holy word. Come and open thy word to our heart and to our understanding. Come and seal it into our souls. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now continue by singing together hymn number 61. The tune is Hebron 346. Was fixed in God's eternal mind, when his dear sons should mercy find, from everlasting he decreed, when every good should be conveyed. Hymn number 61. greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 14, and we will read verse 24 for our text. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. The Lord of hosts has sworn. It's as much as to say, the Lord of hosts had decreed, had purposed, and nothing else can change it. Nothing can turn his course. Nothing can stand against his will successfully. Many do, Satan and Satan's agents, they seek to stand against God. He says here in the prophecy of Isaiah, I will work, and who shall let it? That word let is an old English word, which means hinder. I will work, and who shall hinder it? Who can stop it? Who can overturn it? And so we see here, clearly revealed by the Holy Ghost in Scripture, the Lord of hosts. You think of that name, the glorious Lord of hosts. David in Psalm 46, he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts. Hosts, whatever those hosts may be, hosts of angels, hosts of men, he's the Lord of all. He's God over all and blessed forevermore. As we've sung in our two hymns this morning, he's the sovereign ruler of the skies. He's ever gracious, ever wise. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. One says, he is of one mind, and who can turn him? God is of one mind, and who can turn him? The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. The thoughts of God. You know, we think things, but we cannot bring them into fruition. We think things and we say things, but we cannot command a blessing. We cannot command what is to be done. But just think of the eternal God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. You see, he brought order out of chaos. This is the eternal God. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. He spake this world into existence. Let there be light. The thoughts and words of God. We read in Scripture of those eternal counsels before the foundation of the world. And there, when we read of those eternal counsels before the foundation of the world, we are taught that there is more than one in God. I'll be careful how I word it. There's not more than one God. But within the Godhead, there are three persons, and they took counsel together, and they are of one mind. They give a decree. We read in Psalm 33 concerning God when he made the world. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You think of the word. We read in Scripture, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, where the word of a king is, there is power. There's power. And this is the King eternal, immortal and invisible, where his word is. It is a word of power, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. The Lord's ways are past finding out. I want to look at this chapter this morning. We notice in the first verse, for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the stranger shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. So this is the mind, this is the purpose, this is the decree of the eternal God. And then we read the last verse of the chapter. What shall one say? What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation, that the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it? And as I was looking at those two verses, the beginning of this chapter and the end of this chapter, my mind, it went to the temple of the Lord being built, in the second temple, that is, in the, we read in the prophecy of Zechariah of the building of the second temple. And we read of the foundation stone being laid, and we read of the top stone being brought forth. And both of those stones beautifully typify and represent the person and work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Zerubbabel, the governor, he was fearful of going ahead with building that great temple. They were a very weakened, helpless people, surrounded with enemies. And he thought that he was going to begin a job that he couldn't finish. And that's what burdened his heart. And it greatly troubled him when it was coming to laying the foundation. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, and the Lord gave him a vision. And in that vision, he saw the two anointed ones standing beside the Lord of the whole earth, that's Christ and the Holy Spirit, and the oil of grace pouring into the church. That was the teaching. And he was to lay the foundation. In that vision, Zechariah said to Zerubbabel, as sure and as certain as you have laid that foundation, you will bring forth the top stone thereof, crying, grace, grace unto. What a beautiful picture of the church, of Christ, the foundation of Christ, the top stone, of Christ, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. I am he which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And so when we look at these two verses and then what is in between of these two verses, the Lord shall have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel. The Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it. My dear beloved friends, we've sung together in our hymns that this God whom we trust and worship is the only true God. And he sent his only begotten Son to be the Saviour of his church, of his bride. And his bride and church are called from all nations and all peoples. In the Old Testament, the land of Israel and the people of Israel, the Jews, they were looked upon as the Lord's chosen people, quite rightly so. In the New Testament, it is to be from every nation, kindred, tongue and people. You see, my beloved friends, what is the teaching here is this, is that God is in control. That God is in control. We may look at the things going on in the world today around us, and we see the powers of Antichrist, of the wicked. They gain great power in the day in which we live. But you know, my beloved friends, there is one that is above all. He's God over all. He seeth all things. He knows all things. And as I was meditating here, and it speaks of Babylon. Babylon was the spirit and power of Antichrist in its day. If you look back in the history of the children of Israel, And we see the spirit and power of Antichrist as they oppose the children of Israel. We see it even in the days of Abraham in Sodom and Gomorrah. And how Abraham, how he went and he defeated those kings. And the Lord, he gave him that power. Abraham went with his servants and he completely overthrew them. Why? Because God was with him. The Lord of hosts is with us. And there was a complete overthrow. And that spirit and power of Antichrist that was in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord utterly destroyed it. These things are written for our instruction. And what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, it's the same thing that is going on in the world today. It always has been so. And it's a manifestation of the evil, unrighteous spirit of Antichrist. And that's what we see going on in the world around us today. The unrighteous and terrible spirit of Antichrist. And what is behind it? Satan. Satan's power. Satan's influence. And so, as you see there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and its complete overthrow, that is written for the comfort and the consolation of the Lord's living family. That God is in control. The devil may appear to be in control. You come forward and in the time of the judges, when the children of Israel were in the land of Canaan, and look at the Midianites. They were upon the valley as like they were like grasshoppers. Thousands and thousands of them. Here was little Israel, oppressed by the Midianites, the spirit and power of Antichrist. Again, the Philistines oppressing the children of Israel, the spirit and power of Antichrist. You see, the children of Israel, before that, in the land of Egypt, and the Egyptians utterly oppressed the children of Israel. The Egyptians were the spirit and power of Antichrist. And we see how the Lord, in a most remarkable way, after that long period of oppression and persecution, because that will always come from the spirit and power of Antichrist. And that's what's coming in our nation, and that's what's coming in the nations of the earth, as the power of Antichrist gets greater and greater, and the evil that comes from it. But God is in control. What happened in Egypt? Well, the children of Israel were in total captivity. They were absolutely oppressed by Pharaoh. That was the greatest and strongest, most powerful nation on earth at that time. And they utterly oppressed the children of Israel until the Lord's time came. And he sent Moses, his servant, who'd been in the backside of the desert, and then he sent him, "Go, deliver my people Israel from the hand of Pharaoh." And look at what happened. Wonderful power of the Lord through his servant Moses. The obstinacy and power of Pharaoh. He was determined not to give in. There were 10 plagues that were sent. And he was determined not to give in. And that last great plague that was sent, when the Lord on the night of the Passover slew all the firstborn of man and beast in the land of Egypt. And there was a great cry that went up. And the Egyptians, they begged of the children of Israel to leave and to go from them. You see the power of God. And in that Passover night, how we see the spirit and power of Christ, of the glorious Holy One of Israel, in the Passover lamb. Its blood was taken on the doorposts and on the lintels of the doors. And the destroying angel, the angel of death, as he came through the land. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Oh, what a wonderful illustration that is. And it's the same today. When I see the blood, when the blood of Christ is seen, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will not condemn you. I will not curse you. I will not damn your soul. Why? Because you're sheltering beneath the blood of the Lamb. You know, I shall never forget reading that learned and godly man, Thomas Goodwin, Dr. Thomas Goodwin, one of the Puritans, and he made that clear point that after that overthrow of Pharaoh, when he took his army and his captains and out to the Red Sea and were going to utterly destroy, you see, he would not give up. We see that same spirit in the world today that is, as it were, seeping into every part of our society, this political correctness. And it's an alternative to the Bible, to the Word of God, to what they call a patriarchal society, which is according to Holy Scripture. It's opposing God. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And now they will not give up. They will not turn back. But my beloved friends, never forget, there's a God in heaven. A God in heaven that sees, that knows, that understands. You see, and what Thomas Goodwin said there, when the Egyptians, they went in and followed the children of Israel through the Red Sea on dry land, and the Israelites went over and safely into the wilderness on the other side, but the Egyptians, assaying to do so, were all destroyed. The sea came in upon them. They were utterly destroyed. These things are written, my beloved friends, for our instruction. That is what happens to those that harden their necks against the Almighty God of heaven, against King Jesus, against his holy word, against his holy gospel and his ways. It will be a utter destruction, just as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, just as it was with the Egyptians at the Red Sea. And Dr. Goodwin says, if you read carefully in history after that overthrow of the Egyptians, you do not read anything of the Egyptians for 300 years. So great was the overthrow of the Egyptians at that time. You see, my beloved friends, the Lord, he has his people here upon earth. He always has, and they're always outnumbered because they're what is called a remnant. They're a remnant according to the election of grace, and they're always outnumbered. That's the very nature of a remnant. But the Lord will watch over them, he will keep them, he will preserve them, he will deliver them, he will take them safely to eternal glory. He always has, and he always will. You know, after the time of David, the Assyrians, they came and they possessed parts of Israel, and they persecuted. The Assyrians was a great empire, and they persecuted and attacked continually the children of Israel. But what happened to the Assyrians? They were completely overcome. Now, following the Assyrians, you have the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, when he came down against Jerusalem, and he completely overrun Jerusalem. Why? Because of their wickedness and their sin, and they turned to idolatry, and the Lord, he took them by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar into the land of captivity. And really, here in Isaiah, he's prophesying of that time of the Babylonian captivity. But there's something far deeper, friends. The Babylonian captivity, or as it's called in the Revelation, the mystery of Babylon, is the very spirit and power of Antichrist. They're against the God of heaven. And that is man in his sinful state and condition. He is against the God of heaven. The carnal mind is enmity to God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And we see in all this spirit of Antichrist, the carnal mind of man, the work and power of Satan. See here in this chapter, it's speaking of Babylon, but it goes on in verse 9, he says, "How from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, and they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we are? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down." What's it speaking of? Look at verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning." That's the meaning of Lucifer, son of the morning. "How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations." You see, that's Satan. That old serpent, the devil, which is Satan, Lucifer. He was an archangel in heaven. And we're told in Revelation chapter 12 that when he was cast out of heaven, that great red dragon, he drew his tail and a third of the angels of heaven were cast down with him. And so, we're told there in Revelation 12, woe unto the earth, for the devil is come down unto you. And in this spirit and power of Antichrist, we see the devil's power, the power of Satan. Never forget, God is above it all. God is above it all. How art thou fallen from heaven? You see, he was cast out of heaven. Again, if you turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of the Revelation, and there it is spout out very clearly concerning this. It starts, that chapter 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That's the Old Testament church, the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And then it says, she being with child, the children of Israel, right from their inception, they were looking for the coming of the Messiah. And she being with child, cried, travailing in birth. That's right the way through those hundreds and hundreds of years, the children of Israel were watching and waiting and praying for the appearance of the Messiah, and pain to be delivered. Now look at what was working at the same time in verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And he drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That's Christ when he was born of the Virgin Mary. And the devil stood there. Look at Herod. He killed all the children below 2 years old. Why? Because he wanted to destroy. What is Herod? The spirit and power of Antichrist. The devil working through men. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. This is the glorious person of Jesus Christ, to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God, to his throne. See, Christ, he lived, he suffered, he bled, he died for the sins of his people. He shed his precious sin atoning blood to redeem his church. He died for their sins. He rose again for their justification. He's now ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. And that is what is meant there. Her child was caught up unto God, to his throne. He's redeemed the church. He destroyed the works of the devil. Look at the time of Christ. What was the spirit and power of Antichrist there? The Roman Empire. That surrounded the Christ of God, and then persecuting for several hundred years the true followers of Jesus Christ. It's always been like it, and always will be like it on this earth. And the Lord, he says here in verse 6, that the woman would be preserved in this world. And then we're taken back, and in verse 7 he says there was war in heaven. This is what is in our chapter here, Lucifer, son of the morning, cast out of heaven, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And this is a very blessed word, and it always will be true. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You see, and then we are told so clearly, beautifully, how they were cast out. You see, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they, that is the redeemed church of God, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. My dear beloved friends, there is no other way of overcoming Satan but through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. By faith in Jesus Christ, that's how we fight in this battle. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They're not the weapons, literally, the sword and the gun and etc. No, the weapons of our warfare, they're spiritual. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And now this is a mark of the true follower of Christ. And they loved not their lives unto death. They followed Christ unto death. Many were martyred for the name and witness of Jesus Christ. You see, and then we're told in verse 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. You see, and then we see, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. That's what he always has done. That's what he always will do. But you see, the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, the wings of faith. She might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished. In the wilderness, in this world. I pray not that thou wouldst take them out of the world, but thou wouldst keep them in the world. And that's what the Lord does. He keeps his children, he preserves them. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Think of that word in Isaiah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You see, and it says, the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. That's why we see the spirit and power of Antichrist. Because the devil was wroth with the woman. That's who he's opposed to. I've often said to you and pointed out to you, and it's so painfully obvious. You can speak today, the Muslim, he can believe what he likes. The Hindu can believe what he likes. The Buddhist can believe what he likes. And all the religions of the earth can believe what they like. But you tell anyone that you're a Bible-believing Christian and you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe that this is the Word of God, then you'll be accounted as the offscouring of all things and you'll be hated of all men. Why? Because the devil is in those people, the spirit of Antichrist, opposing the glorious person and work of Jesus Christ. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. See, my beloved friends, these things are written for our instruction in the way of righteousness and of truth. You see what the devil said here in this chapter in verse 13? He says, for thou hast said, this is how the fall of the angels came about. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. This is Satan, Lucifer. He sought to sit where he ought not to sit. That is on the throne of God. He sought to take the power and authority of Almighty God. He says, I will be like the Most High. And it says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. See, the Lord of hosts has sworn. What has he sworn? The Lord will have mercy upon Jacob. The Lord will save and redeem his people. The Lord will overcome all the powers of Antichrist. The Lord hath founded Zion. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They cannot prevail against it, the gates of hell. They'll try. And sometimes, you see, that's what the devil's always doing. He tries to get us to believe, and with his work and his influence, he gets us to believe that he's in control. My beloved friends, he'd love to be in control. He sought to be in control. But God is determined, and he has purposed, that he never will be in control. It's very enlightening in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. That's the Christian believer. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The vast majority of the Lord's living family are among the poor and needy of this earth. They are. And they are counted as nothing by the earth. You see, in the Lord Jesus, he says here in Luke, he says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. You see, my beloved friends, this spirit and power of Antichrist, we see it. The great epitome of Antichrist, of course, is the Roman Catholic Church. It's not the only Antichrist. There are some that have fell into that error, and they say, well, the Roman Catholic Church is the spirit of Antichrist. Well, it is. But it's not the only spirit of Antichrist. That goes under the name of Christ, but it's Antichrist. But even among the Protestant churches, there are those that are the spirit of Antichrist. You've got to look at virtually all of the bishops of the Church of England. They're all exceedingly politically correct. They argue against the word of God. They support immorality and unrighteousness that is abounding in our society, and they say we must follow the signs. No, my beloved friends, we must follow the word of God, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to my word, it is because there is no light in them. We know whether a person is speaking right because they speak according to the holy scriptures of truth. And that instruction is given us in the word of God, so that we can discern what is the spirit of Christ and what is the spirit of Antichrist. See, my beloved friends, the Lord of hosts has sworn. You think of that. Think of the first and last verses of this chapter, that the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, that the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. You see, the poor, they shall trust in him, in that glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in that one that is able to do more than he could even ask or think, in that one that came to this earth and lived as a man, the Son of God, lived as a man upon the earth, fulfilling the holy law for his people. He then offered that holy sacred sacrifice on the cross of Calvary to redeem his people. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Christ our sin bearer, Christ our redeemer, Christ our deliverer, Christ the one that died for our sins and rose again for our justification and has now ascended into heaven. The Lord hath founded Zion. You see, the Lord swear. Think of that other place in the book of Psalms. The Lord swear and we will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's the Lord Christ. That's the Lord Christ. You know, there's a beautiful word in the Revelation, if I can turn to it, and it speaks of the wonderful glory of Christ and the glory of his name and of his grace. It says in the 11th of Revelation, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded. That's the last angel. There were seven angels, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The kingdoms of this world are become. You see, he's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords, and the glorified saints in heaven, they bow before him. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God. Those 24 elders represent the Old and New Testament church, the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That is what is represented. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. He's reigned in his Son when he suffered and bled and died for his people and rose again for their justification and entered into heaven and opened those pearly gates of the celestial city. For he has made a new and living way into the holy place. Now listen. And the nations were angry. And thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged. And that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants the prophets. And to the saints and them that fear thy name. Small and great. Shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. You see, my beloved friends, he is God over all. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. I often refer you to the 7th chapter of the prophet Daniel. And Daniel, in the 7th chapter, he is given a vision by the Lord of that glorious triumph of Christ. It says in Daniel 7 verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, that's Christ, came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And then in verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purpose, so shall it stand. Think of that word, we quoted it all, that yet have I set my king. It's Christ. I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Nothing can change that. He works all things according to his will and according to his purposes. In heaven and in earth. All the minute circumstances of your life, they are minutely ordered and purposed by God. You know, again in the prophet Daniel, he records the words of Nebuchadnezzar when Nebuchadnezzar was humbled of the Lord and brought to nothing. And he was, as it were, like a madman. His hair grew like feathers. His fingernails grew. He lost his reason. And then at the end of the days, we read in Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, at the end of the days, at the end of the days when he was driven from among men, he lived like the beasts of the field. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honoured him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. Remember, the kingdom of Babylon was the very spirit of Antichrist. And yet here we see the king of Babylon brought into utter subjection to the God of heaven. And honoured him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honour and brightness returned unto me, and my counsellors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them. That's off his people. And his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? See, my beloved friends, how clear, how emphatic the word of God is. Where the word of a king is, there is power. The power of God, the power of Christ. It's lovely what we read in the Revelation. The Lord Christ. The Lord Christ. Lord of lords, King of kings. He hath a name upon his vesture written, King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who he is. He's God over all and blessed forever. Now, poor, needy, tempted, tried, believer in Christ, keep looking unto him. Keep looking unto him. I think it was a late Mr. Wood who used to say, try the uplook. Looking up. How often we look down, like Peter, when the Lord had said to him to come and walk on the sea. And he came out of the boat, he walked on the sea to Christ. And then he looked down at the wind and the waves were boisterous and he began to sink. That's exactly what we do. We look down, we look about us, we look at all the impossibilities, and then we begin to sing, Lord, save me. Looking up, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is now set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, we look into the press and we look at what's happening in the world, and we see the terrible powers of Antichrist, of evil in the land. And my beloved friends, there's a purpose of God in the end of time that these things will come to pass. Iniquity shall wax more and more and greater, and the Antichrist will be gathered against the true church of Jesus Christ. We read of it in the 16th of the Revelation, and the angels pouring out the vials upon the rivers and the fountains. And it says here, and we see much of this in the day in which we live, in verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles. They do wonderful things, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world. There's a purpose why this happens, and why they go forth unto the kings of the whole, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That's the purpose. And they'll be gathered round and circle the church of God. It says here in verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them, that's the wicked, he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a hail out of great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague and of the hail. So the plague thereof was exceeding great. That's the end of the world. And my beloved friends, how vital that we should be prepared, that we should be made ready for that great time. For we must all appear at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. The only place of safety is living by faith in Jesus Christ and being a true follower of Jesus Christ and being washed in the precious blood of the Lamb and being cleansed from all our sin and being clothed in that glorious everlasting robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then we shall enter heaven, born again of the Holy Spirit, taken into eternal life through the merits of Jesus Christ. But everyone that is not born again of the Spirit does not live by faith in Christ. They shall come under the terrible wrath and curse of Almighty God. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us now sing together hymn number 14, and the tune is Bishop's Thorpe 104. Begin my tongue some heavenly theme, and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works, or mightier name, of our eternal King. Hymn number 14.
Thank you.
now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.